Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, that we can come into your court with praises today, Lord. Thank you, Father, for searching our hearts today, Lord. Revealing and manifesting. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for revealing and manifesting your great, mighty love and power to us through your mighty gifts, through signs and wonders manifesting through our body, through your body today, Jesus. Lord, we just thank you, Father, that you inhabit the praises of your people. All things are possible, Lord, you said, to those that believe. Lord, we sung the song, we believe, Lord, we believe. We believe in your goodness. We believe in your promises. We believe and we shall receive. We believe and we shall receive right from heaven today what we need to hear. And Lord, we'll be determined that we'll change. Lord, purge us. We'll be determined. Lord, we'll purge us. Let your word purge us from anything that would hinder us from walking in your presence and seeing your glory, Lord, manifested in our lives. Lord, you're not the problem. We're the problem. And Lord, we just confess that you are our Savior and Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. To God be all the glory. Well, I forgot I got another giveaway. Penny, I tell you what, since you're visiting here, because I know that they'll come up here and grab these things. I gave one of these out Wednesday. I forgot to put the rest of them in the cases, but this is our Better Way to Pray from Brother Andrew Womack. It's a study guide. So there's 21 PDF files that you can take and print out and have your own Bible study at church or at home. But we have 57 audios that we actually taught it here. So as I'm teaching, and I can't remember the years have slept by. There could be me, Tammy, Judy, or Pastor Reed at any time teaching these. So take that and just take it. Andrew said, if you copyright me, he says, just do it right. Copy me right. Give it away. He don't charge for anything that he has. He said, copy it right and give it away. Sow it. God put that on Andrew's heart when he started out in the ministry. You know, a lot of times when we start our walk with God, unless, you know, we come through a family that knew God and were taught up in the Word, we have a better advantage as far as, you know, being behind. In other words, not being behind is not a good place to be. You want to be, and sometimes being ahead is not the place. You want to be walking right with God. But I didn't have a lot of opportunities that other Christian families could have because of the devil, because of a dad that wasn't allowed to go to church, wasn't allowed to go see our families. But that still doesn't mean life is going to be all right. It's a battle, but getting that foundation in you is what is going to determine when you say amen and there it is. Having that foundation can shorten that time period because of all the doubt, the unbelief, all these different philosophies that we might have in our mind that has to be flushed out of our mind. Our mind's got to be renewed. Until Jesus comes back, we're not going to have a new mind until he comes back. We have to renew our mind. And that's every minute, every second of the day is to renew our mind to the Word of God, the Spirit of God. That's what's going to change your life. And eventually we're going to do a message that I know not how. It'll just be like a suddenly. And suddenly there came a sound, a mighty rushing sound from heaven. The sound came suddenly, but guess what? They were praying. 120 people said, we're going to get together. We're going to pray. They came. Guys, right here, three keys to living a successful life and having a successful church. And I'm still, you got to work on these. I heard Brother Lester Summerall teach this last night, and he's on in heaven now. Three things for a successful Christian life, to grow a church, build a church, sustain a church. Unity, well, let's just start first. Love God. Know that God is love. Unity and signs and wonder. Because where there's unity, there's strength. But there's got to be unity in love, in God. That unconditional love. We're not just talking about I love pizza. I don't love pizza anymore. I like pizza. I love God. It's an unconditional love. Unconditional love. And if we do those three things, things won't be a problem. There's going to be problems, but they won't be a problem. There's going to be things. We're talking about our series. Last week was kind of an introduction. I'm not saying it's not really an outline. It's just a study, a series we're going to be in, just seeking God. I've got some points, but he's got the main answer. Amen. I got some points to make, but you know what? God never points the finger at people. He points the way. Jesus is the way. He won't point at your sin. You know you're sinning. You know you're missing the mark. Jesus didn't come to tell you how bad a sinner you was. He came to show you how good God is. How good God is. And I have to watch sometimes. The Holy Ghost hit me. I get a little bit loud, but my mic was muted a while ago. But they let me know I'm unmuted now. So I'll try to be all right. I won't be too boisterous. If I get too loud, I'll blame it on Lewis, Pastor Lewis, because he's just loud. You think I'm loud. Lewis, he don't need a mic. When Lewis would preach, we took the gain down. He don't need no gain. Gain him, bring him down. Why, Holy Ghost. Hey, what did Penny show you? Piece of paper, front and back. Lewis is here. We different, but we the same. See, we all the paper. We all the body of Christ. We the same, but we different. We preach different. We walk different. We talk different. Amen? But Jesus sees us the same. Once you get born again, this is terms I used to not know. Talking about the true nature of God, Jesus said before you even want to know the Father, you got to be born again. If you're going to understand God's true nature, who He truly is, you've got to know Him and you've got to be born again. That means you don't go back to your mother's womb, you don't try to squeeze back in there and say, okay, I got to be born again. That's what one of the scribes, that's what Nicodemus asked Jesus. You saying I'm old and I got to go back and be born again? No, Jesus says, you got to be born from above. You had to be born. Jesus came from heaven, inhabited the body, became flesh, and then was crucified, died, was separated from God, His Father, for 3 days and three nights. But on the third day, He rose again. He was born again. He was born again. And when Jesus rose, when I put my faith in Jesus, I become a new creation just like Jesus. One day we're going to have a glorified body, but Jesus has His already. That's my hope. That's my eternal destination, is to be like Him. Is to be like Him. Now, I'm already that way. Once you reach out and receive Jesus as your Lord, you got to understand you're already born again. You have His nature. We're talking about God's true nature. You have His nature. He's a spirit. God is spirit. He's not flesh. He does have a body. It's a spiritual body. One day we're going to get to see it. We're going to go to His throne. He might say, sit on my lap. Sit on my throne. Come on, we're going to get there one day, but not in this body. This corrupted body, this flesh body, has got to be changed. It's got to be made new. We're talking about our Bible study is the new you and the Holy Ghost. Now, the Holy Ghost, your born-again spirit, is already created in righteousness and joy and peace. You're as God's going to be in this earth now. We're creating God's image and in His likeness. But our body has got to be changed. But sometimes, Pastor, you say, I'm supposed to be acting like God. You are. You already are. You don't have to act like Him. You are like Him. You're in the family once you get born again. But don't look at who you are in your brain, because you're not going to act like God in your brain. You're going to say things wrong. To the extent that you can renew your mind, you won't say them wrong. I think Andrew said, as many times as he's prayed for people to come down and get prayer, thousands of people now over 40-some years, some people will come down and say, Andrew, cast this old spirit of flesh out of me. Get rid of this flesh. Cast it out. And he said, I can't cast your flesh out. You're asking something you don't understand. He said, the only thing I could do is I could shoot you and kill you and get rid of the flesh, and then you go home and be with Jesus. He said, because Paul said you got to crucify your flesh daily. That old man that tries to rise up, that it's against God's true nature. The world is against God's true character. The world does not know Jesus. I'm talking about those that are outside of the covenant. They don't know Him, but He wants to know them. That's why He got you born again. So you can go tell the world about Jesus, sing about Jesus, and get them to say yes. Quit saying no to Jesus and just say yes. Amen? And if we can tell people and explain people and show people who God truly is, they'll want to break the floodgates of heaven to get in. You want a wall to climb over and tear down? Get into that glory. Man, that ought to be your heart's desire, is to get to Jesus. This comes out of John 14, 7 through 9. Talking about God's true nature. Jesus, 3.5 years teaching these disciples. Showing them, feeding the multitudes, healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out devils right in front of them. And here they are. Jesus said in John 14, 7 through 9, if you had known me, you should have known my Father. Jesus is the same. If you read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus is showing you God, the true character of his Father. He said, if you have known me, you have known my Father also. And Jesus says, from henceforth you know him and you have seen him. Philip said, don't be a Philip sometimes. When your teacher has been teaching you just one topic all morning, and then you ask, teacher, what you've been teaching? This is what Philip said. Lord, show us the Father. But Jesus, thank God he's God and he loves us. Amen. He's there to help us, man. Parents, we have to teach our kids and train them and train them and train them and train them. Don't give up on them. Some of them just learn a bit slower than I do. And Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and it'll satisfy us, Lord. And Jesus said, Philip, have I been with you how long now? 3.5 years have you been walking with me, Philip? And he says, and you say, and yet you have not known me. See, that's the key. And Philip, he that hath seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? You can't see God in the flesh with these fleshly eyes. Now, you can see manifestations of God through the lives of people. You can see limbs grow out. I mean, these are things that, as a church, we believe. That's what the song, we believe. Now, we're not the healer. We just believe it can happen right in front of our eyes. And we just try to get people in faith to receive it. You know, I went to my wife's sister-in-law's church, Whitman Park Baptist, the fourth Sunday. I've okayed it with the board, but they need help. They don't have a shepherd. They've had some issues with some not good shepherds coming through. Just a lot of stuff going on, and they need, there's not a lot of deacons in the church, and the ladies are doing the ministering, and I told Shirley, we're up here just fellowshipping, she fed a steak, man. We hadn't seen them in a while. This is Sherry's brother's wife. And I said, well, let me check with the church. I said, you know, Reed has the fourth Sunday. I said, man, he does an awesome job. I got an awesome team here. I said, if I can get you some bread to your church, feed the people, I'll be glad to help you. And she said that they're working to see it's okay with them. They'll work it out. But they're getting ready for homecoming this coming Sunday. And there's one member of their church that's been there many years. And I'm not sure what disease he's battled, but he doesn't have no legs. He's got a scooter. Got his American flag on his scooter. And women were up there. There's probably maybe, 15 people at the church cleaning, getting ready for homecoming, making God's house presentable. This man is out there in a wheelchair, no legs, got him one of them flat shovels, getting the grass out of the parking lot, off the pavement. Now, it was kind of misty rain. He didn't have no umbrella. What am I seeing? I see people complain that have legs, brand new shoes, pants, and you ask them to take the trash out, and they complain. This man has no legs, and he's at church because they're getting ready for homecoming. Where is his priority? He knows something about God that a lot of people don't know. That I don't care. He doesn't care if I have legs or don't have legs. I love God, and we're having homecoming, and I'm going to do my part. So that don't give you no excuse. Amen. I believe I heard an old story that somebody complained. I heard a pastor tell this, and Penny might have heard this through Bible school, that a guy was complaining because he didn't have no shoes. Man, I don't have no shoes. Man, look at the shoes you got. He was complaining until he saw a guy that didn't have no feet. So see, a lot of times we need to know God's true nature is God loves everybody. And let's do our part to help somebody. Amen? That was Jesus. His whole mission in life was to show us the Father, the heart of the Father. And we don't have to be this great person on a pedestal to help somebody. God is for us. He's not against us. You don't have to have money to help somebody. I mean, money in your pocket. Now, God wants you blessed with money. Amen. He wants your finances blessed. But, man, you can share a testimony. Pray for somebody. Amen. I mean, I come in this church. I got people asking me, hey, Pastor, can we still give to that? You mentioned something, that person a week ago. I'm like, yeah. That's a giver that's asking, hey, can we still give to that? Amen. If you want to do something for God, come ask the pastor, would you? Don't. I've came up in this. And a lot of times, this is the devil. You know, don't go ask the pastor to do this. You know, you're not qualified. You haven't got your life in order. You're not all that. That's the devil. You're never going to be perfect serving God. Amen? So don't look at the pastor as being perfect. I'm just a willing vessel that has answered the call. What about you? All he's asking is for a willing vessel. He makes you holy. His spirit makes you holy. God's looking at Jesus. He's not looking at Wayne. He's not looking at me. My holiness doesn't get, it's filthy rags to God. Jesus, it's the spirit of God. That's the true nature. It's his spirit that he's looking at. When God looks at you, he looks at your spirit. He sees you born again. He sees you in the family. Amen. God, I'm trying to carry some of these, but you know, you are a reflection of your pastor. A lot of you guys, when you leave here, and I'm not saying you're going to do this, you're going to talk a lot like your pastor. You'd be under somebody for 5, 6, 7, 10 years. You get their little Jim-isms. Jim is doing something on Facebook he calls Jim-isms. Some of those things is, he says, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. You might need to write that down. All of you hadn't heard that. Show me your friends, the ones you spend most of your time with, and I can show you your future. What do you want your future to be like? Then you might need to change some friends. Amen. Let God change you so you can help change their future. Because God's desire is, Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plans I have for you, Bob. Plans of good. Somebody say amen. God's plans for you are good and not evil, to give you a bright future. When me and Sherry got born again, got saved, and we didn't have a lot of money in the bank, we was in debt. The bank loved us. They loved to call us and tell us how much we owed them and how late we were. But it didn't stop us from giving, because we went to a Kenneth Copeland meeting, and I think it's the only Kenneth Copeland meeting we've been able to go to in Greensboro, right? We went to two. But this was the first one we went to, believing and trusting God, and we agreed, me and my wife agreed, and we put a number down that checkbook on the check. She put the number, and I filled in the memo. Amen, because she's good at putting the numbers in. I got a little chuckle there. It might be reversed in your family. Wayne might be the one that puts the numbers in, writes the check. My wife handles all that stuff. But when something breaks down a computer, then she calls on me. See, we complement one another, strength and weaknesses. But she wrote the number in, I agreed, and in the memo, in other words, this is what we were believing for. I put down, we're believing for, help me, a bright future for our family, for our children. And that included us, amen. Well, as Brother Copeland, you think I give a long offering sometimes. Sometimes his offering might be the teaching, then you got another 45 minutes coming when they get done with the offering. Because he shares what the Lord puts on his heart. And I don't know, Sherry, what maybe 10, 15, 20 minutes in, after he finished the message, you want to help me how he said that? You remember exactly how he phrased it? The prophet of God said, there's some of you that's believing and your children's going to have a bright future. I'm not saying I'm the only one that had that in their heart, but I wrote it down on our check. So that reminds me, when I said that, that helped us understand we need to be around people like this that are hearing from God. I need more of this spoken into my life. Now, I'm not lifting up Kenneth Copeland. I'm lifting up God, because he heard from God, and somebody that's hearing from God is where you need to be, because you need to hear from God. And when things get tough, I'll remember. Sometimes when I'm thinking about what I'm going to give, I'll think about that. My children's got a bright future. And man, that's a promise. Jeremiah 29:11, it's a promise. And it never fades. Amen? I don't care what it's looking like. That's God's promise. And he's been faithful. Amen? Banks don't call me like they used to. Amen? Praise the Lord. We got out of debt. Amen? Still got a few more things to take care of, and it's just getting better every day. I said it's getting better every day. Knowing God gets better every day. So that was John 14:7-9. And knowing Jesus, I think I did a sermon out here. Know God, K-N-O, know God, know Jesus. But then I put know God, in other words, know God, you won't know Jesus. But knowing God, if you know Jesus, you'll know God. You can flip it around. Knowing Jesus is knowing the Father, because they are one. They're one. Jesus is the express image of the Father. Hebrews 1:3 says, who being the brightness of His glory, talking about Jesus, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had Himself purged His sins? No, He purged our sins. Now, I prayed that in the prayer this morning, purging. You don't do the purging. He did the purging. You just put your faith in what He did. Amen? Now, when you do that, guess what? It purges stuff out of you. See, because don't think that you're becoming this holy person. No, you're becoming who you really are in Him. Amen? In Christ Jesus, in Him alone, the song says. In Christ alone. Man, that's knowing God. It's knowing Jesus. You can't know the Father unless you know Jesus. He is the way to the Father. He is the way to the Father. Amen? He's the door. He is the door. When Jesus by Himself purged our sins, and then what? He sat down. He sat down where? On the right hand of God Almighty. If two of you shall agree, they're agreeing. The Father, they agreed before we ever agreed. They never separated from being one. Amen? We're the one that separated from being one with God, Adam and Eve, through transgression. But guess what? Jesus said, I took care of that for you. You're not alone in this world. You're not one. You're not alone. You are one with God. Separate. Get the owl off of alone. What does it say? You're one with God. So if you're feeling alone, you got to get owl off of there. Amen. Get the AL off because you're one with Christ. You're one with the Father. And then put your W on there. I'm a winner, or I won. I won because Christ won for me. Amen. He won the battle for me. So there's zero difference between Jesus and the Father. Now, Jesus has a human body now, but in the Spirit, they're one. He was one in the Spirit before Jesus ever took on a body. He is the Word. Jesus is the Word that came forth out of the Father. Same Spirit. Jesus just manifested Himself as the Word. And then the Holy Ghost, man, He just made it happen. He manifests. He's what brings the healing in your body. He makes your eyes get healed. He makes your back straighten up. He makes sickness and disease have to flee in the name of Jesus. Amen. He's the water that washes you by the Word, by Jesus. The Holy Spirit, He's that water, Wayne, that cleanses us. When that Word comes, man, the Holy Spirit comes and says, He just washes you out, man. He's God too. So there's zero difference between the two. The disciples knew Jesus in a sense, but not really. They knew Him in the sense realm. And they could see, and the Bible says that to see Jesus, there's no virtue in Him. He was just a normal person. You couldn't see God in the flesh looking at Jesus, but stick around Him long enough. When somebody turns water into wine, when somebody takes a blind man and opens his eyes, that is seeing God. Because that's what Jesus came to do, to open the eyes of the blind, to heal the brokenhearted. Jesus, you couldn't stay around Jesus and have a broken heart. Well, you could. You could. Judas did. He had a hard heart. He would see the things of God and said, and in his heart, he had a love of that money had a hold on him. It was a root of bitterness. The devil had a hold on Judas. But don't you be a Judas. Amen. And don't you be a Jezebel. Because we come to worship Jesus. You can come to the feet of Jesus and get born again. Judas could have too. He just determined his will was, he was deceived. Judas was deceived. Amen? But not us. We're not going to be deceived. Jesus came. The disciples knew Jesus in a sense, but not really. They didn't know what they had. Didn't know what they had. How many times, you know, when I met Sherry, thank God I know what I had. Because before I had it, I didn't know what I had. The girls before Sherry, I didn't know what I had. Come on, guys, that's the time for you to say amen. Know what I had. If I knew what I had, I got mine. Amen. But Jesus is telling them in a short while, after He is resurrected from the dead, that they would realize who He really was. Knowing Jesus is knowing the Father. This is not only because Jesus did exactly what He saw His Father do, but also because Jesus was God in a human body, in the flesh. That's 1 Timothy 3:16. Jesus proved there was a God walking the earth. So just like Philip, and I'm speaking to the choir when I'm speaking here, but there's some that's listening by live that maybe hasn't really come to know the true character of the God. I don't say I know him as fully as I want to know him, because in his presence there's fullness of joy. I want to be more in his presence so I can experience more of his joy. But we make that choice of how much we stay in his presence. Amen? Hey, you can be at your job and be in the presence of the Lord, and people around you can experience his presence. Amen? Just like Philip, most of us, or some of us, don't fully know what we have in Jesus. Just like Philip, asking that same question. And we can all fall in those areas sometimes, that we know we got the victory, but we just can't see how. You know, and the devil battles us in our mind. And that's just where we got to call on the troops. Call on some friends. Man, I need some help. I need some agreement here. Because you're in the battle. But Jesus has got the troops, man. He's got them ready. They're ready to be deployed. But call upon the name of the Lord. Call for help. Call for the elders of the church, the Bible says. Why? They anoint you with oil if you're sick. Don't call 911. And, you know, don't let that be the first call sometimes. Now, if you're sick, if it's an emergency, call 911. I can't drive that fast, ambulance. I can't get there that fast. But Psalms 91:1 should be your foundation. That while you're waiting on them, you're calling on Jesus. Amen, because Jesus is there now. You know, be a faith responder. Don't give up on the first responders, because first you need to be a faith responder. And then call those first responders if you need them. Amen? Come on, you use your mind, use your brain and your spirit. That's a win-win situation. Amen? God has got people down here to help us. Doctors help us. Firemen, man, there's a lot of firemen that are laying down their life just like a doctor right now, or a soldier in the army of the Lord out there battling fires. Pray for them. So Philip, sometimes we don't fully know what we have in Jesus. The 12 disciples, if you think about it, were at a disadvantage than really what we are sometimes. They had Jesus in his physical form. They could see him in all his splendor and in this physical form, but he was veiled. The Bible says the flesh was like a veil. It was veiling the glory that was on the inside of him. But see, God's not hiding things from you. He's hiding things for you. Because not everybody has God for them. They don't want God. They don't want anything to do with God. They've been so poisoned by the devil. But still, God loves them regardless. He loves the ones that are rejecting him and going straight to hell. God still loves them. God is love. He can't change. He don't change his position. God's not, we call it schizophrenic. He's not happy one day and sad the next day. Now, he has emotions, but his view for you is love. He loves you. If you ever love him, he loves you. He created us. Love created love. He created us love. Amen. We've got an enemy. We've got an adversary. His name is Satan now. He is against God's creation. He is your enemy. He is your adversary. Amen. And he works through people. He works through, that's the way, he's a spirit. But if you give him place, he will inhabit your body. Just like God. See, God doesn't come in and take over your life. He comes in with invitation to change your life and give you his life. God to give you his life and that more abundantly. The devil comes in. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy your life. But he still has to wait for your permission. He is a spirit being. But he's not the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit was in Adam, not Lucifer, Satan. See, that's the big deception right there. The devil wants to take God's place in your life. Amen? There's only two families on this earth. This is another Jimism. You're either a sinner or a saint. You're either saved or you ain't. Two families. Keep it that simple. You either have a covenant with God or you don't. God is love. He wants you. His whole desire for you is to love you and give you a blessed, make you a blessing. Amen? But Jesus is sitting here. Now, the disciples were at a disadvantage. They had Jesus in his physical form. And Jesus was totally God in his spirit, in his heart. But his physical body was natural. Now, he had more hair than I had. But, you know, of the culture, he was of that culture. He was dark-skinned. Just think about looking at a Jew in Jerusalem. You could get a picture of what Jesus looked like in the flesh, in the body. He grew up with them. There was no beauty that made him desirable, Isaiah 53:2. It was difficult for them to look past his physical body and see his true nature. It was difficult. It was hard. Why? Because they didn't have God's nature on the inside of them. They're just looking at what they've been brought up to see what God was. They could only see God in the Scriptures. They could only see God in the Torah. They could only see God by the priest speaking it. They couldn't see God in their heart. Guys, the Lord's really ministering to this on me. Wayne sang this, "Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart." We've been talking about faith. This is Word of Faith Worship Center. Jesus gave us His faith. When you get born again, He gives us His faith. What is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What would Jesus say to people when He was preaching and He was teaching? He would say, if you have ears to hear, hear what the Spirit is saying. What happened when we got born again? God put His ears in us. He put His faith in us so we can hear the shepherd's voice. He said, my sheep know my voice. When you got born again, God put His faith, He put His ears in your heart to be able to hear Him again. This is good. It's not good for you. That's God speaking to you. Don't nobody have to tell you that's wrong if you're brought up, even if you're brought up in a house divided, you can still, the Holy Spirit, you can see right from wrong. Your conscience, you start to see right from wrong. That's God. That's the Holy Spirit drawing you and wooing you and trying to love you. I was brought up in church, but when I started going to church, I went to church, I knew about God, but I didn't know God. And I didn't know how to get to God. I thought going to church was going to God, but it's not. You go to God through Jesus, through a personal relationship with Jesus. You just go through Jesus. You just fall in love with Jesus. You confess Jesus as your Lord. And then, I know not how, God starts changing things in my life. Things start working better. My body starts operating better. But I still have to fight the good fight of faith because a lot of times it don't want to work right. And I found it to be more so as you get older. It don't want to work right. I went through hard knocks. I don't get out there and run the bases like Rowan. He's not 250 pounds. He's 170. Close. I used to be that. I used to be 170. I don't run the bases. I tried to run the bases, and I flipped and rolled. Reed, it didn't look good. Ask him. They'll tell you. I came out with a big strawberry. That's the last time. I like to see him run the bases. And I pray for him as he's running the bases. Well, Jesus said, I've got to leave, guys. I've got to go, but I've showed you the Father. I've showed you my Father. And you've got to take this. You've got to, the Holy Spirit's going to come and He's going to inhabit your body. He's going to possess you. If you let Him in, He'll possess you and He'll love you and He'll hug you and He'll never leave you. God will never leave you. And He will give you the desires of your heart if you seek after God. God's desires become your desires. And what is that desire? Love God. Love people. And in the process, God will bless you with, what am I going to, He'll take away, what am I going to wear is going to disappear. Lord, Leo brought me, where'd he go? Judy, Leo brought me what, 25, 30 shirts the other day. He said, Pastor, I got some extra large shirts, collar shirts, would you like to look at them? Yeah. My God, it took two of us to tote them in from his car. He said, don't bring them back, Pastor, either wear them or give them away. That was wow, how much, Sherry? That saved me probably $500-$600 if you go to JCPenney. But some people would say, they wouldn't think about God. They would just think, well, somebody owed me this. I deserve this. I've been working on, no. I was blessed. God blessed me. I know His nature. And He's out to bless you. If you do something for Him, and He's not after what you can do. He's after you, the heart. Jesus was saying, if you have ears to hear, listen. Listen. At one time, he knew the crowd. They were coming after him. They wasn't coming after him to hear the word. He just knew they were wanting to have their belly full again. They saw all the miracles and the loaves. And Jesus said, unless you drink my blood and eat my flesh, you have no part of me. You know what he did? He shortened the crowd. He went from converts to disciples. He said, who's going to really follow me now? Amen. What was he doing? He knew their hearts. He knew, man shall not live by bread alone. They wasn't able to hear what he was saying. They were just coming for the miracles. He still loves them. But he told them the truth. The truth will make you free. If you keep coming to church just because we got good music, man, the air conditioning, we freeze you here, but you like to be cold. You're coming for the wrong reason. We're coming here to show you God and to make it where you're comfortable. You might have to bring a blanket to this church. Andrew says you can be 32 degrees and have 32 degrees and still be frozen. In other words, 32 theology degrees, all these things, and still be frozen. Not know God. It's not in the degrees. It's in the heart. Do you believe? And that's Jesus, that's all he did. Philip. Dr. Gary Price has said this many times, and this ain't to get you guys, it's just pastors. When you got something in your heart and you're trying to get it to somebody, he said, I just want to take the people's heads and open it up and just dump it in them. Amen. You can't receive what I'm saying by information. You got to receive it by revelation. You got to hear with your heart, and you got to choose. I believe that. Lord, I want to know you more. And if you start seeking, he'll know. But he knows if you're just playing with him. And he won't reveal that self. He won't reveal that manifestation until you're really. Man, when I was serious about getting my life right because I knew I was wrong, God, he was right there the whole time. But then things, man, it's just like, wow. It was a deliverance. It was the manifestation. It was signs and wonders. And I had an experience. And once you experience God, that he's real, somebody can't argue you. There ain't no God. But I'm not here to prove God to anybody. I'm here to love God. And that love will prove there is a God. Amen. It'll prove it every time. You stay around me long enough. I'm not talking to you guys. Tell somebody don't believe in God, let them stay around you long enough. They'll see God. And you'll have an opportunity to witness. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. It's okay to be a Philip. It's okay to ask questions. Jesus loved Philip. Philip just couldn't figure out how. I'm not seeing it, Jesus. I'm not putting the dots together, Lewis. You know those connect the dots, dot to dot? Well, to get the right dot to dot, you've got to answer the question. You've got to know the question, right? Connect the dots. I'm trying to fill in the blanks. It's been a long time since I played that. Connect the dots. But if you connect the dots right, it paints a picture. Amen. Jesus connected the dots. He took care of the dots for us. He painted a picture of God, of his Father, walking on this earth. And I ain't got to try to figure out how to connect the dots. I just got to stay with Jesus. And if I stay with Jesus, I'll get to my destination right on time. Amen. But then you'll help others along the way, too. People watching you. Your friends, you grow up around you. I lost some friends, but I wouldn't say I've lost them. I just keep praying for them. They might be lost. But, I mean, I got one of my good buddies. You know, we hang around, play video games 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. I had to be at work at 6 o'clock in the morning. Didn't have kids back then, so I, you know, didn't have much responsibilities. But now he's driving a truck. You know, when I got born again and I went radical. When I say radical, I got changed, man. I got born again. Religion didn't have no, it wasn't religion. I had a relationship with Jesus, and he knew it, and I had to sever that relationship. Why? Because there had to be a separate, I had to learn about Jesus now. I couldn't stay up at night playing video games. I was in the Word studying, man. I was believing in the Holy Ghost and learning about God. Nothing wrong with playing games as long as you don't make that your God. Because I learned that same desire I had to learn about all that stuff, and it was just natural to me. I use it here now, hooking up cameras and sound cards. See, it used to just be in video games and the computer and just got to get the next best thing. Man, I got a computer now. It's got a 5 meg memory and I got to have that computer. It was all about me. Well, now, I still have that desire, but it's all about God. Man, I want to make this picture better, man, clearer, so people can hear. We're supposed to take the Word of God to the world. I'm praying for people that know how to work that stuff back there, because I don't know all that, Wayne. It's past me now in some of those places. Technology, the Bible says, in the end times, it's going to get clicker, clicker, faster, faster, faster. Information is going to increase, but I have a promise. God's going to increase, too, more and more. We're seeing now, information is not bad as long as it's the right information, or you know what to do with the right information. I'm giving you a lot this morning, but you need to meditate on it. Not a lot from here. I'm giving you from my heart. God is a spirit, and we got to understand who he truly is. In these last days, Jesus said, be not deceived. There's going to be a lot of false Christ that's going to say, hey, come over here. Man, there's something good going on. And it can be a church. It could be a church event. It cannot be anything. But, hey, you better listen to the Holy Ghost. And if you're born again, you have the Spirit on the inside of you. You have the Spirit of Christ on the inside of you. Amen? It's a knowing. In other words, when I know to do something that's wrong and I do it anyway, I had that knowing. That was God. That's the Holy Ghost saying, don't do that. Don't go there. Listen to that voice. I mean, God's mercy. If I talk about anybody, I talk about myself. Because I made some bad mistakes in my life. But God's mercy covered me. Amen. His mercy is for you too. But I don't make the mistakes anymore. Amen. I still make mistakes, but not some of them bad ones. I'm liable too, but I've decided God's more important. And also people's more important. Because I used to be back there on the back row. I used to be way back there where Rowan was. You've maybe heard me say this when Dr. Price and I was under Jim Howard. I was doing the sound. I was doing the recording. I saw all the back of your heads. Remember, Penny? You said, here's the front side. I saw the back of your heads. But when God calls you to the front, now I see the face. I see when you're sleeping and when you're not. I see when you're looking at your watch, Whataburger going to be closing. So I see all these things, but you know what? It don't mean a thing to the pastor. I've learned. I've been in the back. It don't mean a thing, because the pastor tells me, if they're doing this, don't pay no attention to them. Amen. Don't mean a thing. You got to go. If the service goes long, we don't look at you. Man, I guess, you got to go. You have freedom, liberty here, because God goes with you. I'm just saying, when you're brought to that place of leadership, now everybody's watching me. See, now if I mess up, I can make you mess up. So if I say something wrong here, quote a wrong scripture, you guys help me. We make it right. We call retractions. We retract things off videos. Amen? But the main thing is, people are following you. God's trusting you with other people. You're carrying God's miracles on the inside of you. You're carrying God's blessings on the inside of you for somebody else. And if the devil gets you off track, you're hindering somebody else's blessing. So it's not about you. Forget about you. If you help somebody else, then God will take care of you. He'll take care of your stuff. He'll take care of your children. He'll take care of your doctor bills or your mortgage bills. But you got to give. You need to give, because that's what the Word says. That's financial, spiritually, emotionally. This is what Jesus did. It cost money. I think he had 12 families now he took on board. It cost money to feed them. Jesus wasn't looking for handouts. Man, he blessed people and got blessed. He had money. He wasn't poor. But it takes money to do things in the earth in this, we call it the Babylonian system, man system that we create. This is not God's system. Money, that's all not his system. His system was, I've given you all the trees of the garden, Adam. Every tree bearing fruit for you for food. All this is yours, Adam. Take some, eat it, plant, replenish. That means plant, replant. Guys, we're not going to run out of trees. We're not going to run out of oxygen. God saw ahead and provided everything that we need. All this climate change we're hearing, yeah, it's going to change. One day it's going to, God's going to burn it all up, but he's not doing it now. And we're not the problem. Sin is the problem. But God took care of the sin problem through Jesus, and this earth was made and created by God for us, and it's not Mother Nature, it's God's creation. Amen. It's not Mother Nature. God is not schizophrenic. He is God Almighty. And when he said, as long as there's seed time and harvest, hot and summer, as long as this earth remains, there will be that. Seed time and harvest, hot and cold. It's, as long as this earth remains, we're going to be all right. You got God, you're going to be all right. Now, there's some outside of the covenant. They're not all right. They're lost. We're fishing for them. Amen. We're throwing out the bait. Amen. Love. Love. Boat. Fishing. We're fishing for love. We're throwing love out there. Love. The Bible says the goodness of God. The goodness of God leads people to got them. Got them with the goodness of God. Got them. The goodness of God leads people to repent means to change your mind. I want to go to church, man. You should. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. God is good. And we don't say that just to say that. We say that because we believe it. Amen. We have experienced that God is good all the time. That's his true nature. We're talking about God's true nature. He's good all the time. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. God likes to dance. David danced before the Lord. Why? He loved God. Man, he was bringing the Ark of the Covenant. The presence of God was coming back to the city. And David danced, the Bible said, with all his heart he danced. What should his wife have done? Dance with her husband. Get out in the street and dance with your husband. What did she do? What? She was grieved. She was jealous. She was jealous. And the Bible says, I think, help me, God shut up her womb, right? Her womb was closed up. Why? She had a wrong spirit. David had a true, he knew God's true nature. He was good. So don't let what somebody else is doing determine what God is, who God is. Amen? You got to go for God yourself. You got to seek God for yourself. Amen? Because I tell you, he will show you who he is. I'm the baby of the family, and I ain't supposed to be doing this to the world. You know, the baby, the one that mama, you know, I was the hand-picked one. I was the one that had all the favor. This is some things, you know, some things that were said in my family. I'm not saying against my siblings now, but, you know, the baby of the family, you know, you spoiled, mama spoiled you. And, you know, sometimes we got the wisdom, but the older one's like, you ain't lived long enough. Who do you think you are? Paul told Timothy, do not despise your youth. I don't care how old you are, how young you are. God can show you something, reveal himself to you, and you better just, that's God to you. Don't let nobody steal who God is to you. Paint a picture of who God is and who he ain't. Jesus showed us who God was. And if you'll follow Jesus, you, like I say, if you follow Jesus, he's the way. You won't get lost. He's the truth. You can't be deceived. And he's the life. The devil can't steal or kill your life from you. Amen? That's who he is. That's who Jesus is. So the disciples, they were kind of disadvantaged. They were looking at Jesus in a physical body. Now, I better not go that way. I've talked enough about my body today, right? Come on up here, Rowan. Let's talk about your body. So it was difficult for them to look past his physical body and see God, God Almighty. But we shouldn't have that problem. We're not looking at Jesus in the flesh. Amen? Now, also, don't look to your pastor and get your own opinion of who God is, because Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. So you got to get in the Word and say, oh, yeah, that is Jesus that pastor is following, because you got to get in here for yourself. Get in this Word. Bible study. Download. You can go to our website and see the videos, or you can go to YouTube and watch our videos and download all the audios for free. Won't cost you. It'll cost you your faith. Take some time out, amen, and feed your spirit and not just your body on things that you want to do. And God wants you to enjoy this world, but he wants you to take him with it. Take him into the world, amen. Don't leave him. Don't leave him out of the situation. Bring him into it, amen, and he'll bring you out of your situation. Bring him into your problem so he can solve it for you. He's not your problem, amen. So we shouldn't have the problem that they had physically, because we can close our eyes and see Jesus seated at the right hand in glory and power through the word, through the writings, through the testimonies. It's easier for us to perceive who Jesus was, I like to say who he really is, than it was for the disciples. But what a reversal that we try to, the world tries to paint a picture of God. Well, look at this orphan who was born with no legs or deformed. They try to paint, well, that's a picture. You know, God wanted that person. No, that's not God's nature. God never intended us to be deformed and to have any kind of deficiency. And that's not God's nature. That's not who he is. He's not causing the hurricanes and the tornadoes. Now, he's brought some in the Bible. But I remember when he brought an earthquake, all the chains of the prisoners came off. And first it was Paul and Silas. God was saying, I love this, Lord. When the Holy Spirit gives you something, you can write a song about it. But it goes in your spirit and it just makes a tattoo in your heart. When I say a tattoo, it's printed. It's stained there. It's etched there permanently. So Paul and Silas was in prison. Why? Telling people how good God is, how God loves them. Put them in the darkest part of the prison where the rats were, where darkness was. They couldn't even see their feet. Probably wouldn't want to see what was around their feet. But they whipped them and they beat them and they're bleeding. Didn't put no alcohol swabs on them. Didn't clean their backs before they put them up in the stocks. No, they were probably on an old molded wall with water running down. This is one of these dungeons in the stocks and the chains. And what does Paul come up with? Silas. It's time to sing. It's time to sing. Sing. Sing, Paul. And they started singing and worshiping God loud enough that the other prisoners could hear them. And I like to say, and then it says, God sent an earthquake. See, God sent that earthquake and broke and shattered the. And how he did it, that's up to God. How you can shake the prisons and not kill everybody, but shake the shackles off of you. See, that's when God does something. He saves man's life. He doesn't destroy him. And I like to say, and when that happened, he sent it to Paul and Silas. When they were singing and loving God and how good he was, God said, P.S. That's Paul and Silas. P.S. I love you, Paul and Silas. And he broke their chains. P.S. I love you guys. Watch this. They think they got you shackled in chains. P.S. Sent the angel, sent the earthquake. But they didn't run. Man, the guy that's over the prison, he knows he's dead. I mean, prisoners are gone. They didn't go. They didn't leave nowhere. They went and witnessed to the man. Because he was going to kill himself. And Paul saw him, but he didn't see him by his eyes. He saw him by his heart, by the Holy Ghost. Don't harm yourself. We still here. We didn't run away. You need to get saved. You need to say yes to Jesus. You need to say yes to Jesus. The God we serve, he sent this earthquake so we could pray for you. Amen. You need to sing the same song that we just sang. And it wasn't bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. No, it was glory, hallelujah, Jesus set me free. That's what I'd have been singing. I don't know what they were singing, but it was probably one of them spiritual songs that only the angels could sing. But they couldn't even sing this song. Amen. And God sent an earthquake and set them free. To what? Set others free. See, God will send your blessing to bless somebody else. Amen. Help somebody else get out of their shackles and chains. See, this is what the true nature of God was. So you'll know people by their fruit. God does something in their life. Remember the 10 lepers? Jesus set them free. Be healed. Be blessed. 9 went, go show yourself to the priest, whatever they had to do. But 1 said, you know what? I need to say thank you. See, I'm going to take that money with that card, and I'm going to say thank you, Jeff Burchett. Jesus loves you, brother. Thank you for being a blessing to your father-in-law. See, 1 came back and said, thank you, Jesus. And he got to see the true nature of God. Said some of them just took a tip that day from God. Got healed. They were healed, but they wasn't made whole. I want to be made whole. This one came back giving thanksgiving to God. Be thankful. Being thankful, full of thanks. See, that one that really knew God, he really knew the true nature of God. And it changed his life. I bet you those other 9, well, I ain't going to speculate. But I can say what the one did. The one that came back that was thankful got made whole. He got made whole. I can see him preaching the gospel somewhere. Amen? When whatever he didn't have, he got it back. So what has the devil stole from you that you ain't got back yet? All you got to do is what? Be thankful. Come on up here, Wayne. We got time to end this service. Wayne's going to have to step out, but you know what? It's time to unhook. Unhook from today. Amen. Father, we just thank you, Lord. We're learning about who you truly are. And if you're in this place today, in this church, watching by live stream, Facebook Live, and you never said yes, if you never have said yes to Jesus. Now that could be, Lord, I need to be born again, but you just said no, Jesus, I don't want to do that. Say yes today. In other words, you know God's calling you to do something, you just haven't done it yet because you're building a reputation that you need to just let it be purged. You don't build a reputation, build a relationship. If you'll build a relationship with God, He'll bless you. You don't need a reputation. You just need a relationship with Jesus. That's all you need to succeed. That's all you need to succeed is have a relationship with Jesus. And if you haven't made that commitment, how do I do it? You say yes to Jesus today. You say, Lord, I need you now. And when you say now, like the Apostle Paul said, then Jesus will say, now stand up, Paul. Saul changed his name. Stand up, Paul. Arise. Stand to your feet. I got something for you to do. Amen. God's got something for us to do. What? Go tell people about how good God is, how good the Father is. Paul went to talk. Saul turned from a murderer into saving people. Tell them about his Savior. That was from darkness to light. That's what happened to me. And if you'll truly turn your life to Jesus, He'll turn the light on. He'll get you out of darkness. All you got to do is say yes. Say yes to Jesus. If you make that commitment, that pledge to Him, then the Bible says if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you'll know you went from darkness to light. You'll have to tell somebody about Jesus. If you're not sure how to do that, we'll be glad to pray with you here after the service. But the main thing is seek Him. Seek Him with all your heart. Church is a byproduct of seeking God. Because when you seek God, you want to come. I tell you what, my kids, they are Jackson. They were born into the Jackson family. And when mama's cooking food, as long as it's what they like, they come home for supper. When I got born again, and when I got started seeking God, I try to find His place, find His house, because there's a lot of good stuff that happens at God's house and His family. Healing, deliverance, blessings. His mercies are new every morning. This is what is at God's house. That's the fire of God. That's the consuming fire that'll transform your life. Amen. Now, you got to work on your brain. God's not going to work on your mind for you. Your brain is a tissue. I'm talking about your mind. Let this mind be in you, Jesus. Let this mind be in you, Paul said, as in Christ. Let His mind be in you. Let your thoughts become His thoughts. And then His life will consume your life. Amen. He'll consume you with His glory. He'll consume you. Amen. Father, we thank you, Lord. I just speak blessings. Release your favor and your power over your people today, Father. Thank you for sending Penny today, Lord, that brought us a desire to pray for those that can't get out, those that are still not able to even send mail, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for touching their lives. Lord, we just speak against these lockdowns, these missionaries, wherever they are right now. Lord, break those chains right now in the name of Jesus. Shake those places, Lord, just trying to hold them down. Lord, we're not looking to harm men. We're out to save lives. Lord, set those missionaries free. Free to preach. Free to love people, Lord. We just set them free. We speak freedom to them right now, wherever they are. That whole calendar that Penny brought up here, Lord, we just release our faith for them. We speak freedom to them right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. Every church, every person you've called to sow into their lives, to be senders for them, Lord, we just speak agreement right now that they would receive the finances and, Lord, they would receive the freedom. Lord, we know there's going to be persecutions out there, Father God, but, Lord, you're the God of the increase. You deliver your people with a mighty hand, and we thank you for your mighty hand for delivering your people in Jesus' name. If you're here today, you need to, never spoken in tongues, need to receive the Holy Ghost. That's a desire. We'll be glad to pray with you. If you need personal prayer, come up here. We pray with you. You don't have to come up here. You need personal prayer, let us know. God's here to meet your needs. He's already met them. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Guys, we got some, November, we got some voting to do. I haven't talked a lot about it. Probably don't have to talk a lot because you're probably hearing all kind of talk. But every Christian should vote. And you got a purpose in your heart to vote for life, pro-life, for family. You can narrow it down to about two or three. For freedom. And that's your voice in the earth. Don't let people think that you... I didn't used to vote. I didn't care. I just really didn't care. Now I care. I care for people. God is love. I would just say, vote for love. Vote for life. Those that represent that, that's who you vote for. We don't manipulate or control you here. We just say, do what God... Jesus, if he was here, he'd be going to the voting. He'd be go voting. He had to go pay taxes. He didn't mumble and complain about it. He said, give to God what's God, give to Caesar's what's Caesar's. God is my life. Amen. So just walk in love, walk in unity, and we're going to see the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Signs and wonders following. Amen. There's going to be families come to this church that's going to need hope, that's going to need healing, that's going to need Jesus. Amen. Going to need Jesus. We're going to be that church. Say, you can see Jesus here. You can meet Jesus here. You can be set free here. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And we got to agree, guys, we cannot close these church. We can't close these doors. Amen. We can't close the doors. I want you to know you are essential and the church is essential. You got to know that in your heart. In other words, what we're doing, we're giving life. We're speaking life here. Decisions we make here are life and death. Choices that we make are life and death. Thank you, Jesus. I wish I'd had the opportunity, being Rowan's age, hearing the word that comes forth. I'm saying from this church and from you, the foundation that we know who Christ is. We know who God is. And we know who God ain't. Bad English, but we know who God is not. We know what's God doing and we know what he's not doing. Amen? And that's where you got to stand. You got to stand. We got to make a stand. And when we stand in liberty and we stand in love. Amen. We stand for God. Amen. Father, we thank you, Lord. All hearts free. Thank you, Jesus. Let's stand. Thank you, Lord. Don't forget, next Sunday we'll have Evangelist Donald Moore and Jenny. So if you know somebody that's hurting, that needs healing, that needs a word, that's lost, that needs to come to church, invite them. Hey, we got a church. We've got social distancing on the pews. If you're a family of five, sit in the same pew. If you need to wear a mask, wear a mask. If we wear a mask, tell them, hey, we've got masks here if they need a mask. But invite them. Invite somebody you know that's lost, that needs some help. Because we know God has a word. He always has a word. He has a hope. And Donald, like I said, we missed him probably the first of this year. But we still blessed. We still sent a seed to them and blessed him. But we just know that he's going to have the word in season for everybody in this church. Amen. God can speak to everybody in different ways. So, Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this service. And we thank you, Lord, for next week. Thank you, Lord, for bringing Donald. We thank you, Lord, for the word that's already. He's been prepared in his heart to deliver, Lord. And we just submit ourselves to your word and to your spirit. I thank you, Lord, for everybody here that represents your kingdom, Father God, that we are blessed going in and blessed going out. Blessed in the city and blessed in the field. I just speak blessings to you in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.